Hey, welcome to Thoughtful Anarchy. I'm Sunshine.
I'm TT.
And in this podcast, we have a lot to talk about. I mean, America is doing this thug dizzle once more. So a U.S. Capitol Police chief said that militia groups have suggested they want to blow up the Capitol around the 2021 State of the Union address. TT, what you think?
And I think they will definitely attempt to do it, and they know there's not going to be any type of punishment or retribution for it. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to try to do that. I mean, if they wanted to storm the Capitol and hang and kill certain representatives, and I really do think they plan to do that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I just always think about, you know, like with the Black Lives Matter and, you know, any other type of, I hate to say it, like non-white movements. It just seemed like they have all of this military force and, you know, police force available to counteract that. And, you know, just the fact that they even just have the audacity to be able to say these things, you know, openly. I mean, it's just a testament to, like, what America really is. And I mean, it's what it always has been. I think a lot of people, they're just, oh, they're so shocked about it. But I just think, you know, for most of us with the history, and, you know, who family's been here for hundreds of years, like we're not surprised that people like this, they could just say these things and get away with it. And just feel like it's their America and they're going to do what they want to do. And I think you mentioned this before, that you're okay with it.
Well,
remember you said if you want to burn down, you know, like you said in your country, like they went and, you know, they wanted to burn shit down, you know, for political reasons to get their point across that, you know, it was fine.
So what she's referring to, right, in where I'm from, there were four amazing Black women that were enslaved, and they burned the plantation. They led a revolution where they burned the plantations of the white masters. I have no problem with shit like that. I mean, if these institutions are built upon the inequality of people, the death and the discrimination and the hatred of people just because they don't look like you, then by all means, these institutions are fundamentally flawed and should be raised to the ground and then reemerged in a vision that matches the ethos of this country. I mean,
so what makes this? Is this different?
Of course, this is different.
These people feel like that they're being disenfranchised,
but incorrectly. So these people, right? I don't understand. I don't know if they're dropped on their head or some shit, right? How do you think that you have ownership over a country that your ancestors came and slaughtered a bunch of people for? This is what happened. They came over here and they met people here. And
that was people, friendly.
The people helped them to survive in this environment. And you know what they did? They took advantage of that kindness and enslaved those people and then murdered those people. And you know, and they were like, you know what? These people can't work as hard as we want them. Let's get some new people to enslave.
Like, we need some and then new bring them over.
How do you think that you have ownership over land when this is that fraught history? That's the kind of shit that I don't understand. It's like they don't have any fucking common sense.
But you know, not saying that I agree with what they're doing, but I'm just going to tell you, just having conversations, like for them, they feel like America wouldn't be America without them. Like
this America, how it is now?
Yeah. Like that's how a lot of white people feel. They feel like, you know, they're genius and, you know, them being innovative and, you know, just the way that, you know, even though it was savage, like they feel like if it wasn't for the things that they've done, this wouldn't be the greatest country on earth. Like they really, in their deep of, they really do feel that. They feel like the Indians was here. They weren't doing nothing with the land. They was just getting high every day, smoking peyote.
Well, that's ignorance, right?
Yeah.
Because the Native Americans, I know, and the idea of savagery, right? Solely because they don't conform to this advanced technological way of life. I don't find that to be savage. I feel like people have different ways in which they interact with the world. And they have different ways in which they want to do things. I don't think that it makes them less than solely because they don't embrace technology like how we do.
Right?
But perhaps the America as it is now wouldn't have presented itself if those people didn't come in and commit genocide, perhaps. Yeah. But I guess if that's what they want to say.
But it goes along with what? Like, okay, they committed genocide.
Okay.
Or they brought over diseases that killed off the Native Americans, but it's another piece to that actually helped them build them.
Oh, to murder all these people? That's the piece?
What I'm saying is that alone didn't build a country. They needed help.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so
America, the foundation of the America we know it today, obviously they had to bring, like you said, these slaves to help them build this country. So
yeah. Yeah. But I don't overarchingly, their political ambitions, right, to take back their country makes no sense, because on its foundation, the concept is flawed, because this was never your country. What you did is you stole it from someone, right?
I agree.
And like, my issue, right, I tried to present it this way. If another superpower were to come and take America from us, would you think that was their country? And they're like, no! Americans would never let that happen. That's not their country. And even if they did occupy us, it would never be their country because they stole it from us. And I was like, what are you saying, bro? Do you hear yourself? Like, the hypocrisy.
Even though they thought that would have happened with when they were fighting the Japanese, they were like, if they didn't win that war, we would all be speaking Japanese right now.
Oh, and then how people are so super pressed about the Vietnam War because they find that in American history, that's the war like they definitively didn't win.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand, right, why... I don't like war as a whole. I'm not a warmonger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not someone who believes that like war is
considering they just bombed
Syria.
Yeah, Syria. Yeah.
I that is disappointing. But yeah. I will reserve my thoughts on that. I don't like it. The premise of it. I don't like bombing anyone. Mm-hmm. But I will reserve my commentary on that until I get the full specs. Right. I need to read into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think the idea that you're trying to retake a country that didn't belong to you in the first place is asinine. Mm-hmm. I think that these goals that you're fighting for, you're fighting against the idea that, you know, the world as a whole is diversifying. That's so fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. Because the world has always been diverse. It's just that we have an interconnectedness now that we've never seen before. Are you mad because you walk down the street and you can see an Indian person and a Black person and a Hispanic person and a Latin person and an Asian person on the same thing? Like, are you fucking dumb?
But they really are upset about that.
But it's dumb. These people have been here. It's not like they haven't been here.
And I think when they were saying make America great again,
oh,
to me, I think that's what they were talking about.
I had a man tell me, like, look me in the eyes and tell me, I just thought that it was a lot easier when it was slavery.
But they believe that.
And I imagine I had an aneurysm on
this
spot. They
really do believe that.
I thought, I always thought I had, like, a great poker face, but I don't. Apparently, because he said your face tells me you disagree, and I was like, "Oh, so I'm not smiling." Okay, and I had to fix it, and I just told him how much of a dummy he was, because the idea that it was easier when a group of people, a significant group of people on this soil was enslaved because they didn't have any free will and they couldn't speak up and own their own agency. That's what made it easier.
It made it easier because you didn't have people fighting back, and you had all the power. That's what makes it easier.
It's just a dumb thing to say, because imagine America was founded on the idea, right, of liberty and justice for all. That's crap.
No,
that is crap.
They were talking about all white men at the time.
But when I tell people, right, people get so
it didn't include others.
People get, I hate people who are like, oh, I'm a strict constitutionalist. I was like, the Constitution was written by genocidal enslavers and should never be viewed as a doctrine where that espouses the values of like equality and liberty and freedom, because obviously those tenets were not put into practice back in those days. Man, fuck George Washington, fuck all them motherfuckers, right? Like, I mean, people get like real pissed, like, you don't like the Constitution? It gives you your freedom. My Constitution, if I was alive when the Constitution was written, I wouldn't have had freedom. So don't tell me that shit. That document wasn't written for people who look like me.
It wasn't. I don't even think it was written for women, even back then.
No.
Yeah, so it was just really for white men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I don't understand how these people are like big press about it. And it doesn't.
I mean, yeah, they're really, you know, the Constitution, what a Constitution this and the Constitution that. And I was like, you know.
It doesn't surprise me that there are a faction of people who are trying to march on it. Because even before the insurrection on the 6th, they were getting notifications that people were just like, yeah, we're coming to start a war. Like, if we don't leave without a president, we're going to die here. There are people who said that. Mm-hmm. And they send that in an email just like, let me forward this. Pew! Instead of calling somebody and be like, raise the alarms! Everybody get your...
I almost wish, like, you know, I wish black people were more like that.
There's not enough of us.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish we... I mean, they had the Million Man March. I mean, of course, that was nice and peaceful and nobody died.
I'm talking... But there's not enough of us to do something like that.
Yeah, but... Hell, I mean, what do you think if you had... I mean, they didn't have a million people, did they? What do you think if, like, the Million Man March went up there and did that shit? That's nothing they could have did about that.
I'm saying...
You mean as a whole in the United States?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, we're...
To do that successfully.
I mean, I think we're like 13. We're less than 20% of the population.
It's 13%.
Yeah,
13%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the rising group of people, the minority group of people, is the Asian people. And the reason I did minority like this, I don't like the idea of calling myself a minority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
so
a
black
person.
So is Asian over Latino?
I think they're the quickest rising group, but I think is Hispanic / Latino, Latinx people.
And then my thing as far as like when you say like with the white people, I'm like, you know, you guys say it was better during slavery, but once, you know, black people started fighting for our rights here, you know, the first thing they want to do was start, you know, okay, well, we're going to, you know, have all these immigrants come in and now you're upset about that.
But
so it's like,
but it's the wrong kind of immigrants. We wanted the ones who could work the, obviously the white ones.
Yeah.
But not the Irish ones. Those are, and not the Italians either. Those are kind of, those are the muddy ones.
No, they
but,
wanted to want to do the labor, the cheap labor.
No, no. The best type of immigrants were the white one who was like from the pure European places. And then the Irish ones that like, we'll take.
Well, they were the ones they were giving the free land grants to.
But they were the muddy ones. And then the
Irish.
Yeah, that's what they, and the Italians.
Well,
like,
they were the overseers.
Well, the Italians are like the. There was apparently a lot of slurs for them because they were close to Africa and they're like, oh
yeah, they had that dark
and then collection. You know, the Asians, because they wanted them to help work different things that
yeah,
they consider Asian people like the best minority, like they're quiet, I guess, and they do well and they come
yeah,
and they work,
they don't complain,
the magical minority. I forget what the actual term is. There's a term for it, but the idea is a magical minority, like the best of the browns, I guess.
Yeah.
And then those are the kind of immigration they want. They don't want us.
They don't want you to come in here and be smart, get an education.
And they don't want the Spanish speaking one. They're like, you want brownies who can speak Spanish to come up here? Are you crazy? They don't want to see that. Right? Those are the kind of
immigration. But yeah, when they was thinking about immigration, they didn't think about all these other people. They just, you know, and I mean, Trump said it, remember? He said, I don't want people coming from these shithole countries. Like, they just really wanted the white immigrants.
Yeah. Shithole countries. Yeah. I mean, it, and that's so funny, right?
Even though a lot of times America, they do things to.
But that's how ignorant it is,
to
right?
To destabilize
because
these countries.
It is great messaging for American NGOs and stuff to put out, like, if they need to help, like, perhaps impoverished areas of Africa, etc. They put out these images of Africa being this, like, this place that's just grungy and everybody's suffering. Mm-hmm. When I have a friend who's from Ghana.
They living good.
This woman saw it styling. Why? And, like, when she shows me a picture of her home and stuff, I'm like,
why are you here? You're going to visit this friend?
She never invited me, so I guess we're not as close as I thought we were.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I'm going
to hit
invite.
You up.
But,
don't ask for it. Let her invite you. Okay.
Oh, I believe you got to ask for what you want. Because, like...
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like if people want to invite you, they'll invite you.
It depends. I feel like some people just don't know.
They don't know?
Yeah. Because okay. I've never expressed interest in, like...
Going to Ghana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But my other friend, who's from... I told her I had interest in it. She was like, yeah, come stay at my house.
Oh.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, when I go back next time, let's go together, so I'm gonna go with her. Okay. Yeah, but I never expressed interest because
I didn't get an invite, but okay.
You don't know her.
Okay. I didn't know you either, but I got to know you, didn't it?
That's true. That is true. That is true. And but she's an interesting cat. I think you'd meet her one day. She's my homegirl. I love her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
so,
she's older.
So did you give your, about what you think about this blow up and what?
Oh, I just think that they need to do their fucking jobs. If you hear that there's a fringe group of white terrorists trying to blow up the Capitol, treat them like you treat the brown terrorists.
Yeah, treat them like how you would treat, what is it, the Islamic?
That's all we're asking. I mean, that's all we're asking. Equality of treatment.
Because
for
the biggest
terrorists
in the United States, let's just be
in
honest.
In the world!
It's white people.
In the world!
You think in the world?
I'm trying to think because I'm thinking of China.
Definitely.
I have to do more research on that. But I know white terrorism has fucked a bunch of us over, right?
That's
and
right.
Especially in America.
Yes.
The terrorist incidents that have been the most significant in the past decade. Like everybody else talk about 9/11, and yes, that was horrible. But since then, the terrorists, White men. The other day when they blew up AT&T in Tennessee, white man. And that barely got a blip of coverage, right? But if the woman who put Gorilla Glue, they made it like an international incident. If they don't shut the fuck up and focus on things that matter, these people, right, are trying to kill us.
I forgot about that post. Remember I posted something about that guy who shot up that school? Remember I posted it on the story?
Oh, the Parkland shooting?
Yeah.
Oh, and like he was just like a 19-year-old kid?
Yeah. Like
he was a broken child. It's like,
what about Tamir Rice?
Yeah, 12-year-old boy.
12-year-old.
Yeah, that they just rolled up and like just put some bullets in, right? And not to say, right?
I make so many excuses for these white men. People.
Okay. Yeah. So I believe in a fair and due process, right? But my issue is, if you're going to treat someone, right, you're supposed to treat everyone fairly across the board.
Yeah.
If you're going to give these white terrorists due process that they can come and eat like McDonald's in your car.
Oh, God. Like Dylan Roof. They stopped and got him a Burger King.
Yeah, because he was hungry.
Or even the lady from the Capitol. Remember they allowed her to go to Mexico?
Oh, yeah. She was like, but I had this vacation plan, Judge.
Yeah. The other guy, I need special food. I can't eat this jail food.
You treat everybody fairly if that's what you're going to do, right? And I don't feel like it's too much to ask.
Yeah.
But how are you going to treat... How are you going to treat... I mean, you treat these people fairly because, like, they're part of it. Like, the law enforcement... Like, the KKK, a lot of these people used to be a part of the law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's changed. I think a lot of them... And then they see a lot of people in the military who try to overthrow the Capitol. These people who are supposedly mm-hmm. fighting for the country and for democracy. I mean, listen, you can't... You see that meme where there's three Spider-Mans and they're all pointing at each other?
Mm-hmm.
It's the KKK, law enforcement, and the military. And the government. Poor Fort Spider-Man. Yeah. They're all in this together.
And then a lot of times you got to think, like, you know, how sometimes, you know, with black people, we see each other as, even though we may not be related, it's like, oh, that's my brother, that's my sister. And they see themselves the same way. Like the white people, the terrorists, like that's probably why they don't prosecute each other in the same manner, because they kind of see each other as, you know, this could be my brother, or this could be my aunt, or this can be my mom, or this can be, like, they look at it in the same fashion.
Yeah, the people.
And so they have, like, more empathy.
It's
for them.
Well, it's upsetting, because the idea of a judicial system is for it to be fair and unbiased.
For all humans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing that.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Because I don't understand how Mike Vick could get more time for fighting dogs than somebody who killed and committed hate crimes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the thing I hate, another thing, just a quick caveat, those things like when Oprah shows those Life After Hate, like those KKK members
mm-hmm.
who reformed and they're like, oh, now we love the blacks and we help the community, etc. See, you know how much I hate that, but that's what they talk. That's how it seems like to me. Oh, now, yeah, I hung a couple of black people and I burned a few crosses on their land, but I'm reformed now. I'm doing good. Send that motherfucker to jail. I do not want to hear about any of these people. You know what I want to hear from them? When they served the time, when they took accountability for their actions, served the time for their misdeeds and their hate crimes, and then you can come talk to me about restorative justice or whatever.
Right.
But before then, I don't want to hear about these people. And they always want to talk about these people try to get us to be sympathetic to these people who have perhaps had a change of mind. And I do believe that people have the capacity for change. And I feel like we should allow them to change. But I don't think that we owe them our forgiveness. The government has a lot to pay for. The thing where we talk about reparations?
Yeah.
The government has a lot to account for mm-hmm. the thing that they've done to our community.
Yeah.
As such, they need to pay for it. They haven't taken accountability, and that's my fucking issue. Like, I don't give a shit what you try to do going forward. Yes, this is what you're supposed to do at the very minimum. Treat everybody equally. But what happened to the shit back then? You're not going to... You're not going to own up to it. You're not going to give.
Yeah. Okay.
Look. Okay, thank goodness.
Ooh, we need a church fan.
Okay. Oh, I wish I had one. Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, we can go on and on and on about different situations.
Do you
want to
go into the Obama reparation thing?
I mean, we can.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. So, recently, Obama and Bruce Springsteen, they have a new podcast called Renegade, Born in America, where Bruce Springsteen brought up reparations and you know, asked Obama about how he felt about it. And I don't know if anybody remembers, they probably don't know, but it's another journalist called Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah.
And he interviewed Obama years ago.
He's on it too?
No, he's not. But, you know, just to kind of go back to, you know, him asking Obama about it. And I think Obama, he did say something about where, of course, you know, he thinks it's old, but he just don't think it's advantageous at this point. He feels like he doesn't think it's fair, especially like to, I think he brought up like Latinos. He's like, you know, is it fair for Latinos or immigrants to have to pay for, you know, reparations, you know, for something that they had nothing to do with? And to me, I just feel like just even saying that to me, you know, I just feel like that's a coward answer to say. Because it has nothing to do with, I'm like, why are you trying to mix reparations with immigrants or other immigrants from other countries? Because that has nothing to do with, like, this is a claim against the government, as you said. Mm-hmm. Like, it has nothing to do with you, me, or, I mean, of course, I'll be part of it, but it's not personal. And to me, I feel like he's making it about personal popular politics.
Well, I guess,
which I disagree with. And, you know, I just feel like with Obama, and I think what people have to understand, especially those who are for reparations, and, you know, they have this issue with Obama, because of course, when we think about Obama, we think about him being like the first black president. And it's like, you know, like he should empathize because he's black and this and that. But I think what we fail to understand is that Obama, he is the son of an immigrant and a white woman. So basically he comes from, his ancestors were slave owners. So, you know, it's hard for him to empathize with reparations when that's kind of really not his lineage. And, you know, as I think we spoke of before, like Obama never promised these things during his campaign. And, you know, I kind of understand both sides where, you know, there's, you know, especially black people, they're angry. They're like, oh, we voted for you over 90%. You know, you owe us something. And, you know, and then with him never really promising these things. But I just feel like with Obama, I feel like he should at least be able to empathize just based on just facts and history. Like, it doesn't have to be whether you it shouldn't be a feeling. It should be, this happened to this group of people, and the government needs to pay for it.
Be accountable.
Yeah, needs to be accountable.
I agree.
And, you know, the fact that, you know, they'll say, well, there's nobody alive now that's responsible for slavery. But let me tell you this, maybe there's nobody alive now that's responsible for slavery, but there's millions of people that benefit from slavery.
Profit.
From wealth transfers that came about because of slavery. So, again, I'm all for it. I'm for reparations. I disagree with Obama. I feel like that he's into popular politics. And, you know, again, I just feel like maybe he doesn't understand it because it's not his lineage. I mean, he, you know, he was raised by a white family. He went to one of the best private schools, to Ivy League. So, you know. I feel like he's smart enough to know. I just think he's just playing into popularity.
I definitely think that...
And he's a careerist.
I definitely think that he's more of a centrist than anyone would like him to be.
He's a people pleaser.
For a black man. Because I think when he got elected as a black man, he was seen as the black hope and a progressive hope, right?
Mm-hmm. And I voted for him both times.
Me too.
Yeah.
But that he embodied all the ideals that we wanted. But what's the inverse? I wasn't fucking voting for McCain or Romney.
But, right.
But what I think he said about the immigrants, these people didn't contribute, I guess, to the slavery, etc.
And then he was saying about poverty.
Let me talk. I think he said that because of taxes. The government is not self-funding.
Right.
So if you're going to pay people reparations, it's because of taxes. Mm-hmm. People are getting taxed to pay that.
Right.
And if these people are getting taxed, mm-hmm. Perhaps what he was thinking in that moment is that, oh, well, they're getting taxed and they're having to pay into something that they didn't actively contribute to. Like, they weren't the slave owners. They didn't mm-hmm. immediately benefit off of that. But I think holistically now, everybody benefits off the labor mm-hmm. of enslaved individuals.
That's right.
So I think it's a continuous system. None of these things would have been erected. You think if they didn't have free labor back there, back in the day, they would have accumulated this level of wealth.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if you have to pay somebody 10 cents for like 6 months, I think you're doing pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
The corporations today are trying to do that. They wish they could get us back to that.
I mean, that's how most people become millionaire and billionaires, is off of cheap labor.
Yes. Which is why they export things to different countries. But I do think, I think every politician plays to what they think is popular. And I think as a black person, let me give an example. Kamala, before she became vice president, and even before she became like such a prominent senator who was in like the eye, the focal, like media's darling, she was a prosecutor, and she leaned more right when it comes to like it came to things like law enforcement. But as she saw that that became increasingly unpopular,
she started
shifting.
Yeah.
All politicians do that. I mean, right. If you want to be a career politician, I don't think that's the idea. I don't think politicians should play. How to explain it? I don't think there should be career politicians. I don't believe in that, because I think policy and society changes too quickly for anybody to be in there for a solid block. Like, how are you in politics for 50 years? Can you change? Have you evolved to match your base?
And I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of career politicians, they don't have character. Like, they don't have a base of values that they'll stick with. It's just like, okay, you know, what's going to get me voted into office? What's going to make me the most money? And that's pretty much what they go towards.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to suit their interests, right? Mm-hmm. And not even the people's interests, because the idea of a democracy and a representative democracy at that is that you have your political leaders who are supposed to represent your group of people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're not doing that because they're serving the interests of the wealthy. So there are these oligarchs, right, who have all this power and all this money to control interests and policy, and is harming the people disproportionately. And I don't think, right, I think these people who have money to spend create these ads or these messaging, and they shoot it to people perhaps who don't have the resources to access the information, and then they believe it. Like, these people who believe, oh, like in the media, right? And up until relatively recently, I've started watching like comedies like with Pakistani people and Iraqi people, because I want to get a greater understanding of the culture, etc. So I had to put myself in it.
Okay.
And not watch it from an American perspective, because oftentimes when you watch Western media, these people are always like the terrorists. Or they're villains.
That's true.
And like when you watch like black people in like a lot of white shows prior to this, they were all like the thugs.
The thugs.
It was like somebody who come
drug
in like
dealers.
Yes. Yeah. And I couldn't. I'm from the Caribbean. Like we're homogeneously black. I never used to see black people in like that thing. It was so much more multifaceted. So I needed to take my mind off of that. But these people, right? The entertainment industries are run by a very few people, and the broadcasting companies are owned by very few people. And imagine if they try to disseminate this information to people who perhaps don't have the access to education, or perhaps don't have the physical proximity to people who look differently from them or who are different from them.
Okay.
Of course, they're going to believe this thing that they're seeing, because they're like, well, this is the only thing I have as a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that help shape policy, right? So these people, they understand that these people are doing this with their money to reach these people. So if they give their money to them, then they can continue spitting this message, because these are what the people now believe, because this is the only thing that they've seen.
Okay.
So that's how it works.
So what do you think about, so in that interview he had with Bruce Springsteen, Bruce Springsteen brought up, he said, well, you bailed out these big banks. Why don't you bail out, you know, you were quick to bail out these banks, but when it comes to the black voters, the ones who actually pretty help get you into office, why won't you bail them out, but you'll bail out these big banks?
You mean bail individuals?
Yeah. So basically, he's saying that you're playing, you know, to these big corporations, but you're not playing to your constituents who voted you in. And in that moment, I realized, and, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, is Obama really that ignorant to it, or he's just still playing this popular card? Because in that moment,
I think he's a centrist.
In that moment,
I don't think he's ignorant.
I said, there's no way this is but I guess it could be true, because I was like, so does this white man understand race and wealth better than you?
I don't think that's possible.
You don't think that's possible. You just think Obama's just playing.
I think he's a politician.
He's like this ingratiator in chief. Like,
I think he's a politician.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Bruce Springsteen, but I mean, he cannot understand more about the black experience, even if he learned about it researching, than an actual black person.
Mm.
It is no way possible.
But he can
be sympathetic to the plight and be knowledgeable
about it. But I do think there are black people that don't understand.
The black experience?
Well, I'm not going to say the black experience, especially when it comes to reparation, they don't understand lineage and the movement of wealth. Because if you understood that, there's no way you can be against reparations.
I don't think that Obama doesn't understand that. I just don't think it's politically advantageous
for
him. I think he's a politician first.
But I'm like, you're not president anymore, so why does it matter? Or it's because you're trying to sell these books? Or
I think he can still sell the books and be whatever he wants to be. Yeah. I just think he wants to remain uncanceled, perhaps.
Yeah.
Like uncanceled because I feel like.
But you want to remain uncanceled to white people. That's pretty much who it is.
I think there's a lot of black people who aren't for reparations.
But even if they aren't for reparations, they're not against Obama. I don't think they would go against Obama because he decided, like, yeah, I'm for reparations. Let's do it.
There's a lot of black people who don't think black people should have reparations.
That's what I'm saying. I understand that. But they wouldn't cancel Obama for that. He would probably be canceled by more white
people. Have you ever
seen
these black Republicans? There's like a whole channel dedicated to them.
But let's think about.
They would cancel him for that.
But let's think about it when we're thinking about the whole populace. When you think about black Republicans, how many black Republicans there are versus black Democrats or black independents?
Mm-hmm.
It's a minute group.
I think
that wouldn't
lot,
even matter.
Like you,
it wouldn't even matter.
You
I think for Obama, he's more worried about that white group of people that would cancel him.
You see, you contradicted yourself because you yourself said that there's a lot more black conservatives than people know because black people tend to be more religious.
But when I say conservative,
a lot of black people vote Republican because they're conservative in their religiousness.
Right. But what I'm saying is, in values, there are a lot more black conservatives, but they still vote Democratic.
No, a lot of them vote for Republican. I met a lot of black people, especially black church going people, a lot of them vote Republican.
I mean, have you looked at the statistics? How many black... There's not a lot of black people that vote Republican, even though they have conservative values.
Okay.
And why I know that? Because I know they're in my family. They're conservative, but they will not vote for a Republican. And when I say conservative, it means, like you said, because they're religious.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up.
Yes. But I mean, I just think that Obama is a politician and he's centrist.
Yeah. So you.
I'm gonna have to look this up because I don't have time. We're doing podcast.
Yeah. But
I just think that I don't think that Bruce Springsteen is more knowledgeable than him in terms of this.
I'm glad he asked that question.
But my thing is like I think it's easy to laud a lot of white people when they talk about black issues. Like, I mean, it's such a quick way to get attention or to get likability. If when Bill Clinton was playing the saxophone, white people were just like, he's my black president, shut the fuck up. Because this man knows how to play a saxophone, shut up.
I hate stuff like that.
But that's what it seems to me like Bruce Springsteen was doing. I mean, just because he knew a little black plug, that doesn't give him like any kind of like acclaim to this issue.
Do you think that's what he was doing? I just think he was just asking because a lot of people
how you
upset,
presented it,
but a lot
like
of people was upset about him bailing out the banks because, and I'm going
to
tell you why. It touched me because around that time where they were bailing out these banks,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, especially if we worked in the financial industry, we were getting laid off. We're like, you're giving these banks all this money, but a lot of people was losing their jobs. And I think at one point, the black employment during Obama got up to 19%. And I was one of the 19%. But still, you're giving billions of dollars to these big banks so they don't fail, but you're allowing us as Americans to fail. And that was part of the issue.
Yeah.
And I know probably back then you might have been in college or still. But so that was...
I was in high school when he got
I mean, team. So that was really a big deal back then. So I think with Bruce Springsteen, he wasn't playing. Like, he was actually speaking facts. Like, you bailed out...
It's not about not speaking facts.
Like, you bailed out these banks, but when I think
it's easy to give white people credit when they say one thing about black people that perhaps is factual. Or when they advocate for us in, like, one way. That's not enough to give this man accolade because he knew one thing. I'm saying, right?
But a lot of the people that helped with the civil rights movement that were rioters and died in the South, a lot of them were white people.
I don't understand what that has to do with this.
But you're saying you can't give white people accolades.
I'm saying he doesn't deserve, he's not deserving of all these accolades for this one thing. I don't see,
all these accolades, but I mean,
but that's how it was presented. When I look it up, they're like, Bruce Springsteen, like bringing all this info. I'm like, I've never heard of Bruce Springsteen being a champion for the black community. So he said this, he asked a black president this one thing and he deserves all this huspa? No. My issue, right?
But the thing is, he asked a question that probably most I mean, probably another black person would ask, but he asked a question that probably
but it only
put him in a certain light with white people, not just with black people, but probably, white people was like, why did you say that? We don't want to give the reparations.
But he only gave Bruce. But it's only prominence because he's a white man. Black people have been saying this for years. Right. That's why people got mad at like Kim Kardashian, right? Because like black women and men have been advocating for these people to be released from jail. But when Kim Kardashian would be like, tweet, oh, get this woman out of jail, suddenly it becomes a thing. And then she's getting all this praise. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Bruce Springsteen thing looks like to me.
That lady last week when we did Ask a Black Lady, and she said she's doing all these things to make sure that she empathizes with black people. She's putting the BLM in her window. I mean, to me, that's all in the same thing. Like, he's showing that he's empathetic. And I thought that's what we want as far as like dealing with white people. We want them to be more empathetic to our needs. But it's not like he's getting accolades. Like he is
getting accolades. When I researched this because you put it up.
But it's not like he's this big superstar now. But he's always been
a superstar.
But he said something that a lot of white people aren't brave enough to say.
Okay.
And I mean, and I think like with the lady when she put the BLM in her window, that's not something that a lot of white people would do. They wouldn't have this big BLM in their window. So I'm like, what's the difference between her, you know, showing her support and empathy for Black Matters and him saying this? I don't think
there's no difference, right? But you see,
we need to give credit where it's due.
I think, right?
Black or white.
I think what this should do, right? What would be better is, you know who's been saying this for a minute? This black woman has been saying this for 40 years. I'm helping raise her voice. That's what they should be doing. Like, he should, because I'm sure Bruce Springsteen heard this from another black person, perhaps, that he had the opportunity to speak with, and they educated him. He'd be like, well, I learned this from this person who I spoke to, and they did this, and this is why I'm asking this question. You see how that would be more helpful?
But who does that, though?
Because I do that.
Even when Martin Luther King and Malcolm X were alive, they weren't praised.
What do you mean?
I mean, it seemed like they didn't become icons, really, until they, you know... They died. I mean, during their time, it was like, you know, we're black. We want to, you know, we're just another
complaining Negro
that won't hand out.
But that's what we do now, though. We're just like, well, the great Martin Luther King once said, I had a dream, da da da. Like, they reference him. But it seems like
when... But it wasn't until afterwards. They didn't lift him up and do this until...
Afterwards, but I mean, Bruce Springsteen, he didn't learn this on his own. This was afterwards. He talked to somebody, he learned this.
Yeah.
So since he got the information from somebody, he'd be like, I heard this from this. Maybe I talked to Ta-Nehisi Coates, and he told me this.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm asking.
And I mean,
question.
Like, even with Ta-Nehisi Coates, like, I mean, he deserves praise.
He's been working on this for a minute.
But I do feel like he didn't dig deep enough, with the questions. He asked Obama about reparations. But, like, again, it's hard to... You know, when it comes from someone other than the people that's asking for whatever reason, it does create some type of validation. Like,
yes,
like it's just not them, you know, wanting a free handout. It's other people that understand their plight too. And like, even with the civil rights, I think a lot of that wouldn't have happened if they didn't get support from other groups.
I don't disagree, but I'm not saying that it should be like, I mean, from when I read the article, they were saying like, oh, he's like Bruce Springsteen bringing black issues to the forefront. And I was like, what? Bruce Springsteen? When there's been black and brown women advocating from since the dawn of time for black issues? You must be out your fucking mind.
So what if he didn't?
What if he didn't say it?
What if he didn't advocate?
Ask the question?
Then he'll be judged for that too.
What are you talking about? I'm saying, right, my issue is with like people. I think a lot of black people watch him, and that because he asked that question, they're just like, yes, Bruce, you're one of us. No,
but we do it for us too.
Who? I don't understand.
I clap for my people too.
That's I feel like,
why can't we do both?
I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, right, disproportionately, I think it's like when there's a white rapper who comes on the scene and he gets like blows up so quick because he's a white person entering a black space and he does it kind of well, then mm-hmm. they're just like, wow, fucking amazing, he gets boosted into the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
When he's nothing really, like, he's just mediocre and he just arrived in the scene. Maybe he just like seen a little bit and he's just like, oh, I seen a little bit of this, and he arrived in the scene and he gets all this praise and accolades and all this funding, all the resources, etc. But there's a lot of black people who have been doing the work. mm-hmm. who's been effective in the communities, and they're not being bolstered in the same fashion. And perhaps, right, because this person looks differently, they're bringing a different audience, which is amazing, because we want to spread this across the thing, but they shouldn't get as, they shouldn't get more credit and more accolades and more validation and more, like,
I don't feel like I'm giving him more accolations. Maybe from what you saw online.
That's what I read.
I wasn't giving him more accolades than like our civil rights leaders. And I was just in shock. I was just like, oh.
No.
Damn. I was just surprised hearing this from a white person.
Isn't Bruce Springsteen from the South? He shouldn't be in shock. He's been around black people all the time.
Exactly.
He should know this.
And most people from the South are not for reparations. So, like, when he said this, it was just like, oh, damn. Like, you know, we don't expect things like that to come from white people. So, that's what the shock was about.
He's from Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
So, he's not for the South.
Yeah.
He's a country singer, right?
No, he's a rock star. Rock singer or something like that.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean.
So, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, Bruce Springsteen, he's our new leader. It was just like, it was like almost like, damn, like, you know, here you are talking to our first African-American president
about reparations,
and it seemed like you have more of an understanding of why we should get it versus him saying why we shouldn't get it.
I think that's incorrect, but we can we are disagreeing again.
I'm not saying that Barack doesn't understand. I'm just saying that maybe he's, like you say, he's playing center. And I just think that's, I'll be honest with you, I'm very disappointed in that. So
I am ambivalent because I don't expect anything out of these politicians that are here now. I feel like all of them should be fired.
That's true.
Okay, but you know me. I'm a thoughtful anarchist, so.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's what one of my friends said. She was like, "Well, you don't like this person. What do you think we should do?" I say, "We just keep firing them until they do what we're supposed to do."
Thank you. Like, what's wrong with them?
Basically, their mind is, we just need to take what we should get, as long as they're not Republican and racist.
That's ridiculous. Fire.
Like, that's how they feel. Okay, we're going to vote them in. They don't do what we want to do. Guess what? Vote their ass out next time until we get who we want. But
listen, I didn't know this was such an intense topic for us because it lasted a minute. Okay, let's switch to the other
one. What are we on now?
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay, so Marjorie Taylor Greene is that crazy woman who posted an anti-trans sign outside her office door in response to fellow Congresswoman Marie Newman putting a transgender pride flag outside her office. So Marie Newman has a transgender daughter.
Okay.
And in support of her daughter and the Equality Act that they're trying to pass through the Congress, that protects LGBTQA people from discrimination and job loss and things.
What's A?
Asexual.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's LGBTQIA+.
God. Good.
Okay. It's just like, it's and beyond.
Okay.
I mean, society evolves, so I have no problem with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't see how your response, right? Because she put a sign that says gender, male and female. First of all, she's a fucking idiot because gender is a societal construct and male and female is your biology, your reproductive organs, your sex parts, etc. So she's a fucking idiot, one. I don't understand how this woman... And she was on, a committee for education.
Like, why do you care?
Okay, to be the party that believes in, like, personal freedoms, right?
Right.
And autonomy.
Yeah.
You big press about what other people doing with their lives.
Like, so they big press about people's sex lives and their bodies.
Like, who... you're absolutely right. Who cares? I don't... So long as you're not harming people.
Exactly.
By all means, do what you do, boo. I don't have to understand everything. I can just respect you. And that's all the people saying. The people saying, I don't want to be kicked out of my house because I'm part of this community. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be fired because I'm a part of this community. I want to be treated fairly because I'm a part of this community. What is wrong with people saying that? They're human beings. They should be respected and treated the same as any one of us.
Yeah. And I actually know this guy. He's gay. And he says pretty much he knows for a fact, like, he's getting evicted from the home, the place that he's renting, because they found out he was gay.
Mm. That's rough.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that should be illegal.
And
hopefully that's what this act is doing.
Yeah. Now, was this after she already got kicked off all those committees? Was this recently?
Yes.
So she's still with the bullshit.
I mean, she believed in Jewish space lasers. this woman ain't off the bullshit. She's on crack.
But obviously she... but obviously there's a lot of people that think like her because they voted her into office even after knowing this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree.
So what are the Jewish space lasers doing?
She believes that the Jewish people funded lasers in space that are attacking America.
Like how? Like what are they doing?
Man, I don't think I don't think it's for people who have sense. You know, but if you're fully into nonsense, by all means, this makes complete
basically conspiracy theorist type thing.
She is like
I've heard some of the stuff, but I didn't know that she was still up to her shenanigans after she was, you know, kicked off all these committees and apologizing and saying like, oh, you know, I don't believe this anymore.
Oh yeah, yeah, that lie. Okay, yeah. She's a far right darling right now. They look at her. And
they love her. Yeah, she's like Trump all over again.
Yes, but she'll never be as popular as him because she's not a man. Yeah, that's but true. She's trying to get with the getting is good. You hear me? She heard that you could get a little bit of accolades off of talking
crazy.
You heard me?
Like, are you speaking in bonnets?
Yeah, you heard me. she's trying to get where that red blooded conspiracy money lives. Alex Jones,
and she's gonna get it.
Oh.
She's gonna get it.
If I had more patience, I would definitely be like, I as a black woman, I too am skeptical of black people. if I could say stuff like that with a straight face, I definitely would go for that money. But I don't have the patience to deal with that kind of horseshit.
Yeah, after a while, you wouldn't be able to take it.
I remember when I first came to America, and somebody was like telling me I was aggressive because I was black, and I said, what? I know me. I'm a big cat. I love laying down. I was like, this is too much work to commit violence. Like,
you was aggressive because you were black?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, because you see how me and you talk, right? Do you ever think I'm mad at you? Like, I'm going to put you in some fisticuffs?
But I just think...
But that's what they think when I'm talking to them like this. You see how I use my hands, etc. They think I'm aggressive. But I'm just like... It's too much of my energy to aggress upon me. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that?
It's just because it's different. They're not used to it.
But that's the imagery that they have. So it just somebody like her. I mean, this community has been struggling. I mean, there's been LGBTQAI people from since the dawn of time.
Since the beginning of time.
And I mean, it's unfortunate that they've had to hide themselves. I myself am a part of the community. It's unfortunate that we've had to hide ourselves. But I don't think it's too much to ask that we'd be respected and we'd be treated like everybody else. And the fact that this fuck bitch is always out here doing this fuck ass shit. Like, I don't understand how she could be elected.
Like, I really couldn't, like, whoever that lady, who was the lady? You said it was Marie Newman?
Yeah.
See, I would have had to lose my job because I went right over there and slapped the shit out of her. And I would have took her shit down. Because, I mean, you talking about my daughter. Like, these are my children.
I know. You tease Aggie about her children.
Yeah, like, I would have went over there and smacked fire at that bitch. Like, for real.
Smack the fire.
Because, I mean, you're being, it's obvious disrespect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're obviously being disrespectful.
You see, so. I'm not a person who hits people for their mouth unless it depends on what liquor I'm drinking.
Nah, fuck that
But I don't hit people for their mouth.
Nah. I'm like, that's obvious disrespect.
Well, yes, of course. But I just think that I just want to know. That's how I hope that there's a shift in how we raise our children. I think people, what we talked about in the Acts of Black Lady segment, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it so you can give the follow up in this conversation. Mm-hmm. But everybody deserves to be treated with a certain level of empathy, sympathy, etc. Like, why can't we respect everyone?
Yeah.
I mean, these people, if they're not hurting anybody and they just want to do what they want to do to be their best selves and be their freest self.
Mind your fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, my business.
But like I said, I just feel sorry for this guy I know because he's catching hell with his landlord. And now that they can't put him out because of the, what is it, the COVID-19 whatever law. Oh, so he stopped paying his rent, right? Until, you know, like he's like, I'm about to save my money and then move whenever I can because...
They're not going to sue him after?
I mean, I'm pretty sure they probably can.
Yeah.
But he said what they did was... They turned his hot water off. They're like, we can't evict you, but guess what? You're not going to have no hot water in this
bitch.
You'd
be inconvenienced.
Yes. Okay. And he said everything was going good until he had company over.
And it was a bunch of...
And they realized, like...
A bunch of queer people?
Yeah. So, and it's, I hate to say it, it's Latino.
Mm.
Yeah, he said his landlord's a Mexican. His landlord's a Mexican. And they don't, you know.
I mean,
he's like probably early 40s.
They're conservative. A lot of Hispanic and Latinx people tend to be his.
Yeah,
they vote Republican too. A lot of them do.
Yeah. So,
okay, next topic. Prince Harry stepped down because the British press was destroying his mental health. The colonizers?
Why? Because he had him a little Negro girl.
I told you. Why would...
That word. I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, yes.
That's what it is, because he's dating this girl that's half black.
I mean, well, I don't think that's it. I think they've been... Okay, yes. Yes, yeah. Now...
I mean, well, he's married to her now.
A lot of the vitriol now... It's crazy because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been hounding his mom, Princess Diana.
And I'm like, I dare you that he's tainted the royal blood now.
Oh, yeah.
The royal bloodline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Of mm-hmm. course. Because I remember being in an Uber with this woman who said she was from Britain. This woman was like in her 40s. And then she told me, I'm in my 40s. I said, uh-huh. And she said, I don't look like I'm 40, right? Because I do all these things to keep myself young. And I'm like, mm-hmm.
What is that?
And then she started talking about the British royal family. She was like, yeah, I just don't agree with Harry with Meghan because she just doesn't look like us. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, she just doesn't look like somebody who would be from Britain. I was like, what do you mean? And she said,
just say it.
Yes! You mean white? You mean she can't be a princess because she's not white?
Hell, I want to say she look more white than black if you ask me.
No, she doesn't.
You don't think so?
Stop playing.
I think so.
I don't think so. With that nose? She definitely
maybe ain't look. Maybe ain't look at her.
Yeah, lately. Look at her. But the thing is, right? It is not surprising to me.
But she can pass. Look, I mean, I wouldn't
watch her and say she white. Stop playing. You watch that and say she white?
I'll be honest. I would probably think she was more Latino.
Anyway,
I don't see a black. I don't. I think she definitely looks a lot like her father.
Who's her father?
Oh, some white deadbeat.
Okay. You're the one who brought him up. Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean, yeah.
I don't think it's surprising that the British press has an issue. I mean, the British people have such vitriol towards his marriage and now his coupling and the children, etc. Because they're
so
pregnant.
Nice looking. Oh, and
they're pregnant with number two.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
And I was gonna say, and another reason is too because she was married before.
So oh yeah, she's not virginal.
Yeah, she's.
This
she's
idea
ruined.
That a woman is ruined because she hasn't. The patriarchy.
Don't get you started.
Oh, you don't want to get me started on the patriarchy. I want to bring that motherfucker to the ground. Like I wake up in a cold sweat every day. It's still alive, but I just it is unsurprising to me that they're treating her poorly, and for them to be so surprised when she was like, you know, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. They were like, what? You mean you didn't like suffering and trauma and being harassed? How dare you? Dare you choose
that's not
better
what they
for
were, that's not what they were. It was like, you know, we're royal. You're like, you don't have to worry about money. You're part of this prestigious group of people. Like, that's what they were like.
She left because of the pressures of the British press, too.
Yeah.
That's what she left.
Yeah.
I'm saying, the royals had their own pressures, I imagine. But, you know, as a concept, come at me, British Twitter. As a concept, the royal family, the idea of a monarchy? A monarchy is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
And you want to...
I'm like, where is this?
The royals don't even do anything. You want to appease your puppet lords? I don't.
What do they do? Just go around doing charity work?
Basically. And just looking good.
Just looking good. And
yeah. They don't actually have any political... I mean, they have influence, I imagine, in society. Societal influence. But in terms of like... And I imagine if they endorse certain policies or whatever, people would get behind it. But that's because they subscribe to this idea that these people are better than us because they're royal. I was like, you mean the people who inbreed? You mean those people are better than me? Man, fuck all that. Fuck all that. And fuck your frail overlord. She can't do shit.
But you know, like, for whatever reason, the British, like, they're paparazzi. Like, they are really into all that tabloid stuff.
Yes, it's so
like
tacky.
I mean, it's like their life. Like, they will harass and do all these columns and tab. Like, that's... I don't know. Like, they're really into that. Like, they're like TMZ on 10,000.
And they're so mean.
Yeah.
I've read some of these things that they say about her. They're like, monkey face Meghan Markle. And I was like, you wildin'. The racism over there is fresh.
It is.
Like sushi fresh. Like that shit is crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine, because I don't even like a little bit of attention. Like before we revamped the Patreon, we had all these comments and people were saying like such crazy things. They're like, fuck you, you two bitches, all kind of things. And at first I was just so flustered. I could feel my armpit sweat like, but then I realized I could just delete it.
Yeah.
Can't do the same thing in a newspaper. And if you're under this pressure of being a royal now,
yeah,
and you're constantly like sequestered, you're constantly being cloistered by these cameras and trapped and pigeonholed, of course you'd want to get out. And I think they did the best thing for themselves.
And I mean, children. They probably was feeling like from not just like, they're probably from the family too.
Oh yeah, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, did you see the I think it was on Good Morning Today or something like that. Kate Middleton, they had an analysis of her face, and they were like, "Yeah, she has like the most classically beautiful face in the world." Scientists say, and I was like,
"Kate Middleton,
I was so speckledorf, like what?" So I imagine she's under a lot of pressure as well, but she has the cover of whiteness to protect her, because even if people can think she's flawed or she's not doing the things well or whatever. She's white, so, you know, they're like, at least she's white. Yeah. But this one, that black bitch wants to think she can take one of our white royal sons for herself and corrupt him with her blood. I was going
to
say that word,
I'm about to say something.
You say it.
No, what?
What are you going to say?
About Negro blood?
You want to do this? I told you not to say it.
Whatever.
I mean,
look.
That be what it is.
She's a beautiful girl.
She is.
Regardless of whatever,
I haven't seen any of the kids. Oh, what do kids look like? Yeah. He's a big ass child. Oh my God.
I mean, and look, I was going to say, and he is white. I mean, because I have a cousin. No, like I have a cousin. She's half white, right? And she married this white guy.
Yeah.
And their daughter is blonde with blue eyes. Like, she doesn't. I'm pretty sure when she goes up and go to school, they're just gonna be like, my mom's black. They're gonna be like, you a liar.
Yeah.
Because she's a white phenotype. Like, she's blonde hair, blue eyes.
I'm saying, right?
It's just, I just think it's all stupid.
I just think, you know, they were rebelling against that hue has never been seen in the royal palace before. They're just like, a little dark in here now. Is that the shadows? And then she stepped into the light, and they were like, oh God. Jesus.
Like, where's that shadow come from? It got a little dark in the room. But I'm gonna tell you, like, they really are, you know, racist over there.
Because, yes.
Because this one guy I know,
the original colonizers.
I mean, he does a lot of like black documentaries, and you know, he speak a lot of truth to power black stuff. He got banned from England.
Really?
They was just like, we don't want you coming over here telling these black people that they're great.
How dare you?
Like, I don't know. You're not going to come over here with that blasphemy and try to teach them about their culture and make them think that they're great and they can do anything. Like, he's really banned from England.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, he went to get on a plane to go over there to teach a class, and they was like, you can't come over here. We don't want you talking to us black people.
Okay, tell me about this athlete, because I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, you don't like him. We already talked about him. Don't say his name. But he's banned from England.
After this, I need to find out who she's talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Bo.
Yeah. But yeah, he can't go because they don't want him over there talking about his black documentaries and all this stuff.
Is that the guy on the Twitter? The big guy?
I mean, he's tall. He's a big guy.
Okay. I need to find this out.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for speaking with us today.
Yes.
Of course, please feel free to give us feedback and share comments and let us know anything that you want to talk about.
Subscribe, like, share,
save. And like the YouTube. The YouTube is where the money is at, where the money resides.
Where the money resides. You can donate to us as well.
Yeah, we have a link in the Cash App. If you want to encourage and support our podcast, please feel free to donate whatever you can. And if you cannot, please do all the free other things that you can do. If you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, any of those things, we're all on those platforms. We'd like to share our content with you. And hopefully you like to enjoy our content as well. We look forward to seeing and hearing more from you. This was Thoughtful Anarchy, and we out. We're about to have music soon. My brother's making us beats.
What kind of beats?
I think it's going to be like a mix between some hippity hop for you.
And say some hippity hop.
Some hippity hop.
See, that's that white people shit.
Mm-hmm. And some of the...
I want mine to be Caribbean.
I want my part to be like kind of rock going on metal. Oh. So like kind of like someone, so kind of like Papa Roach meets Gwar.
What is Gwar?
I'll show you after. All right, everybody. Goodbye.
What is that? Okay, bye.